Right now, we're going to head into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Mariusz Smoly, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. And it's hard to believe a year has gone by since you were here talking about last year's new season. But the new season, 2012-2013, is coming up sooner than we think. Kicks off in September, I believe. And I know you've got some beautiful concerts planned. And just like last year, you have your classical and your chamber series. So what's the kickoff date for it?
Thank you very much again for having me in the studio and for the opportunity to talk about our upcoming season of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. Our opening date is September 22nd. Mm-hmm. We have a theme for the entire season that works both with our main subscription series and the chamber subscription series. And we call it Musical Journeys. And I try to program each concert such a way that it focuses either on a place in time or certain geographical area, something that really unifies the music and takes us to a different place. And hopefully it'll be an enjoyable experience for all the listeners. I know it will be an enjoyable experience for us as performers to sort of focus our mind on one style, on one part of the world, and try to convey the uniqueness of that place or those places through music.
So you'll be a musical tour guide in more than one sense.
Yes.
Well, remind our audience about the two different series, why you have them, and what's the difference between the two?
Yes, we have a main subscription symphonic series where most of the concerts, not all of them, most of them are presented at the Hyman Performing Arts Center, and usually it involves large orchestra, and most of the time we play large symphonic works. Then we have a four-concert chamber music series that focuses on a repertoire featuring smaller ensembles, sometimes solo, sometimes duet, sometimes small string orchestra up to 12 or 15 players, and those concerts are being presented at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. So different venue, different atmosphere, different type of repertoire, but you know, there's such a wealth of music written for all kinds of different combinations of ensembles, and also music, I think, most of the time it's meant to be played in certain spaces, and especially the size matters. So it wouldn't be appropriate to put big symphony orchestra to ACA. And of course, having a string quartet playing in Hyman, it's not really the most appropriate artistic decision. That's why we decided to have two main venues and two main concert series. We started doing that last year after the ACA was opened, of course. And this idea was very well received, so we're continuing with those two series.
I've heard some wonderful comments about that chamber series, because you said the repertoire is very important and very extensive, and we don't often get a chance to hear those pieces live on such a huge stage.
Right. And what's interesting, many composers, when they write in memoirs or they comment on their own music or the music of their colleagues' composer, point to some of the best works they accomplish or the biggest accomplishments they see in the works of their peers are actually in the area of chamber music rather than the symphonic music. Mm-hmm. So it is, there are many uncovered or unknown jewels or repertoire that is really rarely performed unless you're really interested. Your interest is particularly in the chamber music. So we're trying to fill this gap a little bit in Lafayette.
Absolutely, offering us that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about these musical journeys. They begin in September. People can start purchasing their tickets for the journeys now.
Yes, you can get your tickets for the musical ride right away. We have separate series for the chamber and symphonic series. However, you can only get the discounted subscription to the chamber concert after you purchase the main subscription concert. Of course, you can buy single tickets as well. So we're starting in September with a concert titled Four Corners of Europe. And this is to show four works, of course, by European composers that feature a particular place in Europe and has very distinctive style and taste to it that actually shows the variety of cultures and music and history and different corners of Europe. I think sometimes from the American perspective we tend to see Europe as one big chunk of land and don't notice or not often appreciate the very vast differences in culture, history and music. And so this concert is aiming into showcasing those differences and those very distinctive musical styles. We'll have a music by Finnish composer Jan Sibelius titled Finlandia, which I think is a beautiful musical painting of the vast spaces in Finland, probably covered with snow. And this is, by the way, kind of unofficial musical anthem for Finland when this piece is being performed in Finland on concert occasions and other occasions. People usually stand up. Mm. That's how important it is for the Finnish people.
Them.
It means so much to them. And Sibelius, of course, is the national big musical hero and national composer of Finland. Then we have a music by German composer, but really focused on Hungarian musical style. Johannes Brahms was a famous romantic German composer, but he was very much interested in Hungarian musical culture, had many Hungarian friends, and not only he wrote famous Hungarian dances, but in his violin concerto, he only wrote one very important for the symphonic literature, violin concerto. He features a lot of folk-like elements, dance-like elements taken from Hungarian music. So it's interesting mixture of sort of Central European culture. A German composer very much writing in the traditional German romantic style, but using the folk elements of Hungary. I think it's a very interesting marriage of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful, beautiful piece that will be played by our guest soloist who comes to us from Hungary by the name of Gyula Staller. Well, they say Stuller in Hungary, and we are currently actually investigating the possible family relationship between the Stallers that are in Lafayette and the Stullers are in Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very excited, waiting with great excitement for his visit for a number of other non-musical reasons too. So we had a Finnish corner, Hungarian corner, then we have a Polish corner. We're going to play music by 20th century Polish composer by the name of Witold Lutosławski, a very famous, very prestigious composer, who in the early stages of his career was very much interested in Polish folk music. And the suite that we're going to perform features four folk songs and dances, really kind of digging into the very rich culture of folk music in Poland, the same roots that Beethoven was drawing from when he was composing his sort of folk-inspired repertoire.
Mm.
And the final piece on the program, the final corner, is an Italian corner, music by Ottorino Respighi. Respighi wrote three beautiful symphonic poems talking about the history and beauty of Rome. Rome festivals, Pines of Rome, and I forgot the third name.
Birds? Are there birds in there?
The most famous of all those three are the Pines of Rome that are situated in different parts of the ancient Rome. And so he takes sort of this excuse to not just talk about the trees, but what's behind those trees, the history. My favorite episode that this piece unfolds in five episodes, five different places in Rome, is the final episode called Pinida Via Alpa, meaning pines on the Avenue of Alps. And this is the avenue that historically still there in Rome, very much so, with the same stones probably on the street, paved by Romans. And that was the avenue that the army of Caesar, the Romans, were taking when they parading through the city after the numerous victories that often come from Alps, fighting the Germans or whoever they could conquer, and they were coming with for this big celebration in Rome, celebrating the new victories, and they'd always march through this avenue. So we're hearing some very militaristic grandeur music, almost as if you were listening to a Ben Hur or one of those old movies. So very, very exciting music, wonderful musical colors, distinctive styles. So,
and this is just the first concert.
Yeah, just the first concert.
We've already gone on a whirlwind tour of Europe on the very first concert. Mm-hmm. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Mariusz Smoly, artistic director and conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. They are now selling season's tickets for the upcoming season, which opens in September. And Mariusz is just describing the very first symphonic concert, which is one of their series. Mm-hmm. They have a classical symphonic concert and a chamber series as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a grand opening and introduction to your season there. And I know you continue generally about one concert a month, I guess.
About one concert a month. The next symphonic concert is in October, and this time we really focused just on one place and one historical period. We're going to visit Venice in 1712.
This very is the specific date.
Very specific time. That was actually the height of the Baroque era, where many wonderful Italian, not only Italian Baroque composers, choose Venice to live and compose there. One of the most famous of them is, of course, Antonio Vivaldi, who was a teacher at a girls' school, orphanage girls' school in Venice. And as a teacher, he's not only obliged to teach those children how to play different primary string instruments, but not only, but to compose something for them to play. They couldn't go in Google anything and print it out at the time. Either you commissioned somebody to write something or you did it yourself. That's why we have about 450 different concertos that Vivaldi wrote, because every month he needed a new piece for two, three violins or flute or guitar or cello. So wonderful tradition of instrumental music that started in Venice through Vivaldi and other composers. And we're going to present actually his one of his larger works, which is Gloria, a religious piece for large chorus and orchestra. And another composer that will be featured on the program is something very important for the history of music, Giovanni Gabrieli. He was a music director at the St. Mark Church Cathedral, which is in the center of Vienna. And he explored the very interesting and special acoustics of the cathedral, which is the church has two choir lofts in the back and in front. And he was experimenting with a stereophonic music at that time, trying to compose and perform works for two ensembles, either two choruses, two brass ensembles, whatever he could get. He would divide them into two groups and would try to make a musical conversations. So we're going to follow his experiment and use our St. John Cathedral in Lafayette and do the same. We're going to have two small brass ensembles, one of them in the choir loft, one in the front of the church, and try to repeat what Giovanni Gabrieli and also his brother, who was also a composer, were trying to do in Venice in late 17th, early 18th century. So primary music of Gabrieli and Vivaldi.
So this will be the second in your symphonic series.
Right.
All right, that will be at the Cathedral of St. John. So not only taking the music from different countries, but you're actually making us move physically to a different place as well.
Different place. And I think if you close your eyes and let the very vibrant and interesting acoustics of the St. John Cathedral take you on a journey, you can, I think, easily imagine yourself in Venice.
And of course, as always, someone's busy trying to take notes on what you're saying. People can find information at your website also.
Yes, all the concerts are listed there. And as we get closer to the first downbeat, we'll present more interesting insights on what we're playing. And
now, when does your chamber series begin in the fall?
Our chamber series starts in the first weekend of October, on October 6th. We are starting with very interesting guests. Linden String Quartet is one of the most talented talk about young chamber, American chamber music ensemble. They won some important and prestigious competitions. And it was interesting that one of the members of the group is from Lafayette, Louisiana. Eric Wong comes from very well-known family. He is a former student of Lauren Baker, who's our concert master. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, after going out to study on the East Coast and in Cleveland, as one of the first concert tours with this group, one of the first concert tours will include his hometown. And I think that his presence and the fact that he made it, so to speak, in the musical world, which is very competitive, can serve as a wonderful example and sort of a role model for children in our area who are
definitely an inspiration.
So we really hope to get a lot of young people to this concert. They're going to play wonderful chamber repertoire, very accessible. And I think this is a very good opening for our chamber series.
Again, yes, and again at the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
Yes, it'll be at ACA.
Okay, so what happens in November?
November, we are bringing back a guest that were very, very well received 2 years ago, a group of circus artists with a program called Cirque de la Symphonie. And what do they do? They present acrobatic, all kinds of things you can see in circus, except their act is being supported by great symphonic repertoire. So everything they do corresponds to the rhythm, to the colors that the orchestra presents at the same time, making it really multi-dimensional presentation. And it was hugely successful concert 2 years ago, and by the request, we're bringing them back. They'll have some new acts. It will be the same show. There'll be some new music. So it's not a repeat of what we've done. It's the same concept, now taken farther with different presentations and different music.
So they're on the same stage as the orchestra?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, on the same stage. Sometimes they're above the orchestra, sometimes in front of the orchestra, sometimes behind.
Flying across the audience.
Right.
So that's a part of the regular symphonic season.
Yeah. Of course, we'll have a special performances for children when they visit, because in addition to the subscription series, we also present special concerts. We just did 4th of July, just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we have a free children concerts, and we play in the different areas around Akeliana.
Very successfully.
Abbeville, so.
And you, the ASO has really focused on education and children and making symphonic music accessible to them.
Absolutely. I think if we can go back for a few minutes to our season that just ended, one of our most successful projects last year, and very, I was very moved actually by that whole final concert especially, was a project called Link Up. Link Up was designed by a Weill Center at the Carnegie Hall. It's a curriculum for elementary school children, which teaches them basic elements of music through performance, through singing or through playing recorders. They are learning a number of songs. They learn basic concept of music theory and performance, and then all this 6-7 month process culminates with the performance with a symphony orchestra. They are in the audience, not just sitting, but actually singing with the orchestra and playing their recorders, participating in, you know, making music with professional orchestra on stage, which is a wonderful incentive, wonderful inspiration for them to really explore music from very different point of view. So it was very, very successful program. All the teachers who work with us raved about it. So we're bringing this type of programs again the next year, and there's so many other things we do in the education that probably need a special
program to talk about. I know we've gotten the director of the conservatory to come and talk, and Jenny has spoken about so many of your educational initiatives that you have at the ASO. So the symphonic concert season is just one part of
everything we do. You know, and talking about education, I really think that all of us need education all the time. At least I feel I need to be educated all the time on many different subjects. So when we present those quote-unquote adult concerts, before each concert I have a little talk. When I talk and present the music that is about to be played, sometimes I talk during the concert. So I really believe that one gets much higher appreciation for music when one is informed more. And we're trying to do that, not just on the level of conservatory of music and children, but actually our adult music lovers.
Yeah, our experience is not so opaque with a little bit of explanation. Again, my guest, for those of you tuning in, Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, talking about their upcoming season. It starts in September. There are two series, the symphonic series, the chamber series. You can purchase both series if you like, and our individual tickets as they come available throughout the year. But right now, those series tickets are available.
Yeah, and if I can mention, we have so-called early bird special. If you buy your tickets before August 1, before end of July, you receive special discount. And we always have special discount for the first-time subscribers, which is about 50%. So for about $85, you can listen to all of those six wonderful symphonic concerts and really have a good seat. So I think it's really, really affordable and worth the money.
Absolutely. And again, when we're talking about education, just giving that gift to children in our community. So what happens in November leading into December? Do you have a chamber concert in November as well?
No, we just have the symphony concert. We have educational concerts with the guest artists from Cirque de la Symphonie. In December, we have a traditional Christmas concert. And this year, our featured soloist will be old friend, Sandy Landreth, that will play his slide guitar and actually some selections from his newest CD that was released 2 months ago. Sandy is now touring around the world promoting the CD. I read some superb reviews of his new work. It's slightly new concept. And it was interesting, the string section of the Acadiana Symphony was actually part of some of the recording sessions. And I was working with Sandy, trying to incorporate the string sounds with his guitar sounds and many of his guests. I think the end result was very very satisfactory, and some of this material will be some of the songs or works will be presented at our Christmas concert.
Great collaboration. So that's in December, your Christmas concert, always very popular. And then you start off in the springtime with both series.
Yes, and we have the first thing after the new year is actually second concert in our chamber music series. Titled Let Us Serenade You. It's around Valentine's Day, not exactly on the day, but very close. So I think music that charms, music that talks about love and emotions, mostly for strings, would be at the center. And again, it's such a wealth of repertoire written just for this specific instrumental group that I'm very excited to play some of those jewels of chamber music literature just with strings on that day. Then in March, we're going to present a program called Opera Spectacular, or the Best Moments of Opera. Again, another wonderful pool of great musical selections, and we decided to present some highlights from the most famous operas ever written. We're going to have a guest soloist, the chorus of ASO will be performing too, and some of the selections include Finale from Aida, selections from Carmen, selections by Wagner, Mozart, Rossini, Puccini, all the beautiful highlights from this really superb operatic repertoire.
Probably many that we would recognize.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And many of us don't realize how much of this repertoire we actually are familiar with. Mm-hmm. If I say La Bohème, Finale of Act 2, you may not recognize that, but when you hear the tune, that probably was perhaps in the
Looney Tunes cartoons.
Looney Tunes cartoons or commercial for, you know, newest car or something like that. Then you recognize them. And those tunes, you know, interestingly enough, they were the pop music of their time. Now we look at them as old, sometimes stereotyping them as stiff, not really often friendly type of repertoire, but this is the popular music of 19th century in Italy, or 18th century in France. Those are the pop hits. People were singing when they were drinking and enjoying themselves.
Well, and if somebody wants to burst into song, maybe at your concert.
So that's really a listener-friendly repertoire. And I'm underlining this theme because it's very important to present and program on my part artistically ambitious repertoire, challenging repertoire, but I always keep in mind that I would like to make this as accessible to as many people as possible. And I think you can do both. You can have a very accessible repertoire and very ambitious repertoire. Mm. And I think this upcoming season really brings those two elements together. And I hope both people who have our subscriptions for 20 years or more will find things challenging, inspiring, as well as people who never attended concerts, they will find things inspiring and charming.
Well, so far everything you've talked about certainly is very compelling. Mm-hmm. So after the opera selections, what do you have coming?
And we have a concert that also will be presented at the St. John Cathedral called Music and Faith, going back into musical journeys. I think for many, many centuries, some of the brightest composers really focused majority of their time and talent to write religious music. And I think whether we are religious or not, there's a certain beauty in it. There's a certain spirit present. There's a certain atmosphere there that, regardless of how you feel about certain religions, really has this human touch that you can't resist. And one of our concerts next year explores that. We have a wonderful guest soprano, Jenny Bridget, who sang with Metropolitan Opera, City Opera of New York, Chicago Lyric Opera, wonderful soprano. And she presents some of the traditional religious music from Baroque period, music by Bach, Handel, and others. And also on the program is music by composer by the name of Górecki, who was actually in 90s and early part of the 21st century the best-selling composer of classical music. And this is through his Symphony No. 3 that was recorded in London, featuring soprano
Dawn Upshaw.
Dawn Upshaw, thank you very much.
We used to play that a lot here in Caribbean.
Yes, and I think that music has the spiritual touch, and for some reason it was embraced by people who also like to listen to music of the sea and music of the forest and would buy CDs just with that. But it goes in the same direction, very calming, very soothing, very inspirational. And there's a wonderful story behind this third symphony, and we're going to play one movement of this third symphony on that concert with the soprano.
What a treat that
and,
will be.
There's so much to talk about that program. I hope we can visit before.
Yes,
and
we'll have you back in the spring. Yeah. When is that concert? What is the date of that?
Let me give
it's
you
in April.
Let
perhaps?
Me look at that. Actually, this is in March. Sorry. Opera concert is in April.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And in March we have two presentations of this music and religion program at St. John Cathedral.
Mm-hmm. And how do you end up the season?
So the season ends up with the symphonic series, with the spectacular moments from different operas. And then in May we have two chamber concerts. We have special program titled To Mothers with Love. On the Mother's Day, mm-hmm. we're going to present music that somehow talks about relationship between child and mother. And we're going to include not only musical selection, but some poetry as well. There will be poetry that talks about love between small child and baby and his mother, as well as more mature love between mature person and his or her mm-hmm. mother, and some works, musical works that are related into that. For example, on the program we have a horn trio for French horn, a violin and piano that Johannes Brahms wrote just after his mother died. Very retrospective, beautiful piece. Then we're going to have early works by Mendelssohn and Mozart that I think are just children admiration of the world and the family and mother. So trying to make this connection between words and music, and the program is specially dedicated to all the mothers.
I'm sure that'll be quite well attended.
And our final concert in the season and final concert in the chamber series is on the last day of May, May 31st, and we call it Paris 1922, All That Jazz. Many of us don't realize that actually Paris was the European center for jazz in a way before Chicago was. Mm-hmm. I think to some degree the musical establishment in Europe looked into jazz as a new aspiration, new wonderful concert music, ambitious music, while at the same time in the United States the musical establishment was looking down at the jazz as music not really having the place on the concert stage along Mozart or Beethoven. I think Europe was a little bit embracing the genre of jazz before it happened in the United States, especially Paris. And it was due to the fact that many great American composers actually spent some time there. Among them was George Gershwin and Cole Porter. Also, French composers who did visit the United States brought some musical ideas back to France and wrote music inspired by jazz while visiting the country. And Darius Milhaud is one of them, and he wrote this famous ballet and wonderful suite called Creation of the World, which features Dixieland music and wonderful bluesy tunes combined with, you know, French champagne and French musical perfume. Interesting piece. And the guest artist for this program is Sean Roy, who is a wonderful interpreter of jazz music as well as classical music, and he will sing some Cole Porter selections with us. And he also participated in more classical selection.
He gives a great warmth and personality to his interpretations.
Right.
So what an amazing season. You've taken us all around the world, primarily Europe and different styles of music. If you have just tuned in, my guest Mariusz Smoly is talking about the 2012-2013 season for the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. He is their artistic director and conductor. Tickets are available now for the seasons. Both of them, one of them, I guess you have to purchase the Symphonic to get a special discount on the chamber, but you can find out more about that at the website.
Visiting our website, yes. www.acadianasymphony.org. And again, we have a special early bird opportunity to purchase tickets before August 1, and you get very substantial discount. And if you are the first time subscription ticket buyer, or you did not have tickets for the last 2 years, we treat you as one, and you get in both cases a special almost 50% discount.
Well, it sounds like an amazing season, and I know we'll all look forward to having you back throughout the year to talk about individual concerts. Thank you so much, Mariusz.
Thank you very much.